Well, hello there, my friends. Welcome into another edition of JMAC Live. How are you doing today? I'm going to button up my shirt a little bit there. There, that looks a little bit tidier. How's everybody doing? So glad that you're here with me. I apologize. I know a lot of you are trying to watch the Olympics, but maybe I can be your companion during the Olympics. And as Sheldon points out, he says, our cricket friend is still there. I have been engaged in a battle of wits with this cricket who is parked outside my window. You heard him on Tuesday night. Yeah, Tuesday night, still there. So Tuesday night, I had scheduled a professional interview. I do some hosting, some paid hosting for several other podcasts. And I do them in different countries. I have several clients in India, Canada, several in New York. And so we go live and I bring them in and we record. And good audio quality is an important part of that equation. So I can't record that when there's a freaking cricket in the background sound. And so last Tuesday night, I went out several times and I banged on the bushes everywhere. Didn't stop it. Finally, I got out the hose and I just blasted this bush that I think this cricket is in. And it worked. It stopped the cricket and it was gone the rest of Tuesday. And last night it was gone. And then just about 5 minutes before I went live tonight, I turn on the microphone, and there's that freaking cricket again. So just before I went live, one of the reasons I was late and I didn't have everything set up, you noticed that I started the show totally wrong and you guys were watching me and I didn't even know it. I went out and I blasted that bush again. But listen, did it work? Yeah, no, it didn't work. So, my friends, the cricket is with us tonight. Maybe we should give the cricket a name. Maybe it's my conscience who wants to be on my shoulder and help me sort through all of these difficult issues that we are facing today. I apologize for the cricket. I don't want to kill the cricket. I just want it to relocate. That's all I want. Sheldon says, at least I didn't pick my nose. He also says the beard is looking sharp. Yes, those of you who are watching the video feed, you can tell my wife did finally catch up to me with the clippers. And so I am all now trimmed and looking neat. Heather says cricket on the hearth is supposed to be good luck. Heather says Carl the cricket. All right. The other thing I have to start off with tonight is those of you who know who were with me on Tuesday night, I made some claims. And then I did some research after the fact based on some of your comments, and I came back on the air and I apologized for being wrong. Well, I'm going to apologize to you again because I was wrong about being wrong. it's been that kind of week. The cricket has me off my game. So here's the long and the short. I had made some claims that that the Democrats offered to the Republicans the January 6th commission. They offered them subpoena power and that they voted it down. And so now they don't have a lot of say on the committee that Nancy Pelosi had put together. And then I came back and I said, you know, that wasn't accurate. The Republicans did not stop it in the House. But my good friend Chris Larson reminded me that I talked to him and he said, you know, you were right. He said, you weren't necessarily describing it perfect, but you were right. What happened is the House passed the January 6th commission. Only two Republicans voted in favor of it. And on that passage, the Republicans would have had subpoena power. They would have had been able to choose who was on their committee. And then it went to the Senate and it was blocked in the Senate and blocked by Republicans. And so then Nancy Pelosi said, well, I'm forming my own commission and I'll put whoever I want on that commission. And so, my friends, I was right. I just wasn't describing it perfectly. So if you notice, I took down the video where I apologized about being wrong. It's just been that kind of week. It really has. Jackie says his brother is sitting here in the deck with me. I'm assuming the crickets. I generally really like crickets. I like going outside and hearing that sound. I just don't necessarily like them when I'm recording with clients. I don't mind sharing them with you because you all are good sports about it. But anyway, so those are the two things. My battle with the cricket and my mea culpa when actually I had it right. But I'm so careful that I want to be, when I'm describing things to you, I'm so careful that I want to get them right. And I had a moment of doubt. And so that's what happens. And thanks to all of you who said that they appreciate what I did and those kind of things. Okay, couple things to talk about tonight. Heather says... She says, I don't know. I can't believe someone who flip-flops. I am flip-flopping. I was right, then I was wrong, now I'm right again. Maybe I could have been a good politician. on the agenda tonight, people hiding the fact that they got vaccinated from friends and family. And then the most important question of the night is, does pro-life mean pro-vaccine? And then which states are getting COVID and why? And if you've been listening to the JMAC Update, which is the new daily podcast release that I've been doing all week, this is kind of a shortened version of what we do here. Some of this will be repeat for you because this is where I want to get your feedback and your opinion. So if it is repeat, it means I love you because you're listening to everything I'm putting out. If it's not, some of this will be new for you. I've got a really important point that I want to share with you tonight, and I want to get your feedback on. So I'm glad that you are here. Orion says most politicians don't correct themselves. That's true. I did flip-flop, but then I corrected myself. So I'm out again as a politician. Okay, let's start out with this. I just wanted to share this with you because I know it's true, and I'm wondering if among you, if this is true. I know for a fact people who are hiding that they got vaccinated from coworkers, from employers, from family members and friends because they're afraid of the potential backlash. So let's go to the interwebs. Yes, this is a CNN story. So if you want to discount it out of hand immediately, please feel free to do so. Let's see. Let's go up to the top. The COVID-19 vaccine has become so polarizing. That yellow's kind of bright, huh? Does that make it hard to read? Can you guys read that? I think that yellow makes it a little bit hard. Let's see if I can. That's a little bit. That's better, right? Okay. I think that's better. All right. Mr. Cricket, Carl the Cricket says that's better. Okay. The COVID-19 vaccine has become so polarizing that some people in Missouri are getting inoculated in secret. It's not just Missouri. In fear of backlash from their friends and family who oppose vaccination. They've had some experience that sort of changed their mind from the viewpoint of those in their family. Those in their friendship circles or their work circles, and they came to their own decision that they wanted to get a vaccine. This according to Dr. Priscilla Fraze, a hospitalist and chief medical information officer at Ozarks Healthcare in West Plains, Missouri. This was all told to Anderson Cooper. So again, if you want to discount it, that's fine. In a hospital-produced video, Fraze said one pharmacist at her hospital told her they've had several people come in to get vaccinated who have tried to sort of disguise their appearance and even went so far as to say, please, please, please don't let anybody know that I got this. Are any of you hiding this? Orion, are you hiding this? I know you've got a relative that is somebody who you might not want to let know this. Let me know if any of you are hiding this from relatives and in-laws. Like I said, I know several people that are. So that's interesting to me. But this is the real story. If you caught my update from, I actually did it late last night and then it aired this morning, where I went after Chris Stewart, Republican, Utah representative, House. And I went after him pretty aggressively. I would say you're downright angry. I've calmed down a little bit, but I'm still incredibly frustrated with Chris Stewart today. And I will tell you why. Orion says, my dad got his vaccination, didn't tell my stepmom. Oh, can you imagine? Whew. Wow. Heather says, I'm sure not, but I have a friend who won't say either way, and I'm pretty sure she did. Eesh. I don't know if I have, let me do this. I want to pull the exact story about our good representative, Chris Stewart, about the CDC. I didn't have it up because I talked about it yesterday, but let's see here. Yeah, this is the story. It was a Salt Lake Tribune. Here we go. Did we talk about this on Tuesday night? The week has been kind of a blur. A blur? Yeah. Maybe we did talk about this on Tuesday night. Remind me if we talked about this on Tuesday night before I go off on another rant. Let's see. Where is it? Here it is. It's already highlighted. Representative Chris Stewart has been vaccinated and encourages people to get the shot. That's awesome. But he's frustrated by the latest CDC council calling it a flip-flop. There's that word. After the easing of mask recommendations just a few months ago. He said we should continue to build public confidence in the vaccine's effectiveness. The CDC's unnecessary guidance only serves to erode that confidence. Consistent and science-based public health guidance, as well as a respect for personal liberty, will allow us to continue making progress. If you are vulnerable to the virus or particularly concerned, you are free to get vaccinated, wear a mask, or stay at home. Freedom is the answer, not the heavy hand of government. And I blew my lid. I just completely blew my lid in this recording that I did yesterday. Because Chris Stewart is literally calling politics science and science politics. That's what him and other Republicans are doing right now. Because here's the thing. He says we should continue to build public confidence in the vaccine's effectiveness. And he wants consistent and science-based public health guidance. No, he doesn't. He does not. The Republicans do not. He calls this a flip-flop. Now, a flip-flop is when you change your opinion for political gain. A flip-flop is not when new research comes in and you adjust your recommendation because of said new research. That's not a flip-flop. This is like saying back in the day when they used to bleed people for medical reasons, right? We just need to bleed you. And that was like a prevailing medical philosophy. And then somebody comes out and says, you know what? That's not healthy. Oh, you're a flip-flopper on the itch. I can't believe you're flip-flopping on this. This is scientific medical research that he's calling a flip-flop. And if you're not familiar with what happened is the CDC had retracted its mask-wearing guidelines for indoors and for the vaccinated. And then it came out and just reversed that. And him and other Republicans are calling this a flip-flop. But what they've completely missed is that the CDC explained why. And instead of helping everybody else understand why, they're calling it a flip-flop. Interesting, though, that they didn't call it a flip-flop when the CDC went from mask mandate to no mask mandate. Did you hear Chris Stewart or anybody else say, oh, this is insane. They're not being consistent. They're flip-flopping. No, when they made a decision, when the CDC made a decision that Chris Stewart agreed with, then that's good science. But when they made a decision that he disagrees with, that's not good and consistent science. And I'm just curious what Chris Stewart wants here. Is he suggesting that if the CDC has made a guideline and they get in new science that alters that guideline, is he suggesting they shouldn't do it? Because they've already made a guideline? Because if that's the case, we'd be stuck with the mask mandate that was initially there. This is maddening. I mean, this is stupid, and you'll never hear me use that word. This is so ridiculous, and it's one of the things I've been talking about for a couple of days now, that Republicans have found themselves in this trap. They want civil liberties, and I want civil liberties. I'm a big fan of civil liberties. I got a lot of friends who are free, so we like freedom, right? But they somehow think that in order to get those civil liberties, they have to downplay the science. Why do they think that? Why can't you just come out and say, we want the people to decide. This is a free country. Freedom is a bitch. And people will die if they choose inappropriately. And so we're all for freedom. But we think that you should wear a mask. You know who's been saying this is Mitch McConnell, who's been saying for a while now, I got vaccinated. You need to get vaccinated. He has been consistent in his message, right? But for some reason, they have to downplay the science. Why? Why? He's not a doctor. He's not an epidemiologist. Why is he downplaying the science? And here's what's hilarious. Is while talking about CDC's credibility, he's destroying CDC's credibility. That's the maddening part here. We are in bizarro world. We are in backwards world. Politics is now science. And science is now politics. We are completely backwards here. Completely backwards. And you know what? Mitt Romney, he came out and he said some things that I totally agreed with and I appreciated. But he played into this as well. He said this. Let me find it. Let me change the color so you can see it. He told Damon Dujanovic on KSL News Radio. He says when he was asked if he agrees with the CDC guideline. He said, these things are a tough call. It's such a difficult decision because if you tell people they got to wear a mask if they're vaccinated, then they think, oh, why should I get vaccinated? So that has a negative impact. On the other hand, if there are people who pretend to be vaccinated and don't wear a mask on an airplane, for instance, that would be another problem. It should not confuse people if Republicans were part of the messaging instead of part of the problem. The CDC, the new guidelines from the CDC should not make anybody think that the vaccines aren't working. The only people who will think that are those listening to Chris Stewart and other people who are not even reading the CDC guidelines. If you know what the CDC said, you know the research and you know why they said it. But Chris Stewart, where is he? Here he is right here. I love this. President Biden's CDC is putting Washington back into the middle of your lives. Interesting that he didn't say that when President Trump's CDC recommended mask wearing. It wasn't then President Trump's CDC, but now it's Biden's CDC. And they say it's for your own good, but provide little evidence. My friends, that is a bold-faced lie. The CDC released the research. The people, isn't it hilarious to hear this group of people who are the leaders of my political party demand evidence? Are you kidding me? Evidence? You want evidence now. Okay, all right. You're not demanding much evidence when it comes to voter fraud, but now you want evidence from the CDC. Mountains of it. And the CDC said clearly why they changed their position. Now, then he says, I'd like to remind everyone of the 9 most terrifying words in the English language. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. You know who he's quoting there, right? Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan made this statement when he was talking about social programs, welfare programs, government overreach. I've studied the life of Ronald Reagan in great detail. I do not believe for a second that he would be playing these shenanigans that we're seeing with the virus. He may fight for civil liberties, but he won't be downplaying the science at the same time. My friends, why can't the message from Republicans be this? Somebody please tell me why it can't be this. We want civil liberties. This is a free country. And so we want people to decide. But please choose wisely. Please know that this is a deadly virus. Please know that research shows that masks reduce spread. Please know that the vaccine can save your life. But we want you to decide. Why can't they do that? Why is that so difficult? Why are they in the trap? Is it because they didn't combat Trump when he made certain claims and now they feel backed into a corner? Why can't you say that the world's medical profession agrees that this thing is deadly? And when the CDC says we are scaling back our mask mandate or mask requirement, but they explain why? Shouldn't we be out helping them spread the word? Because the reason why is the new research says that the Delta variant can be carried by the vaccinated and spread by the vaccinated. So nowhere did they say vaccines don't work. The new research doesn't say the vaccinated or are at higher risk. It says that they can carry and spread. So if you're indoors, please wear a mask. So Republicans can come out and say, we're not going to mandate anything. We don't believe that's the role of government. But please listen to the science. Talk to your doctor. Make a good choice here. We're finally hearing some voices in the Republican Party do that. Finally heard Sean Hannity do it. Mitch McConnell's been doing it for a long time. We're finally starting to hear that. Why? Do Republicans feel the need? It's like, you know what it's like? It's like they don't feel like their civil liberties defense is good enough. And so they have to attack the science as well. And that's sad because people are going to die listening to them. People are going to die. People who might otherwise say, you know, I don't want you to make me do it, but you've convinced me that I should do it. It's maddening. It's just maddening. Let's see here. Blake Emerson. Blake says, natural immunity being downplayed in the U.S. and considering breakthrough COVID cases now hitting every community, and now CDC saying vaccinated should mask up. It's obvious no one knows what the hell is going on. Blake, stop. Blake, this has all been known. This has all been predicted. At least for people who've been paying attention, we've always known there would be breakthrough cases, Blake. Always. How did we know that? because we knew that the vaccines would only be one of them's 89% effective, one of them's 93% effective, the other one's 95% effective. What does that mean? That means for the 95% effective rate, there's going to be 5% breakthrough rates. We knew that going in. All you had to do was listen to the numbers and know that there would be breakthrough cases. There was no way to know how the Delta variant would affect the vaccinated. The good news is that it appears that the vaccinated are still being protected, but they can spread it. And we didn't know that or not. New research says we can spread it if we've been vaccinated. That's why they backtracked. These are not wild guesses. Early on, we had to guess. And early on, there were some wrong guesses. Early on, there were recommendations that you didn't have to wear a mask. But that was in the early days. So many of this stuff, you can just project it. Do the math in your head. 95% effectiveness, that means 5% who get vaccinated are still going to get it. Well, if a million people get vaccinated and 5% of them are still susceptible to it, that's a decent number of breakthrough cases. That's not a shock. That's not a shock. Let's see. Orion Stewart is one of our worst political hacks in Utah. He's more sycophantic than Mike Lee. You shouldn't be upset, nor should you be surprised. Look, you know me, Orion. I'm going to take it by their choices and what they're doing each time. I'm going to try and refrain from overall judgments or assessments about their character or them as an individual. In this case, he is dead wrong. The CDC did not flip-flop. And to call it a flip-flop is undermining the CDC, and he's claiming the CDC has no credibility. And the reason they don't? His actions. It is not a flip-flop to get new research in and adjust your decision. If that's a flip-flop, then we can have no medical progress in this country. That is asinine. That is ridiculous. Patty says he wants it to be okay that they have been listening to someone say science is crazy and not feel guilty over people dying from that. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Because I've been trying to figure it out. I understand the message of civil liberties. I get that. And I've made that argument, not necessarily for COVID, because I do think states have a right to put restrictions on. And we haven't complained about a lot of those restrictions because they haven't affected us. Like smoking. We can complain about that because it didn't affect us. Smokers are making the civil liberties argument, and we're like, dude, I don't care. I don't want your secondhand smoke. It's bad for my health. I don't like the way it feels. Well, you can make the exact same argument about spreading COVID, but now you're asking someone to wear a mask. It affects them. Now it's a big, giant civil liberties debate. But if you're making the civil liberties argument, why do you have to attack the science? Why? It'd be just like when people were against the seatbelt law. Again, I'm not a big fan of the government telling you what to do, but I thought, you know, you could say seatbelts don't work. That's going to cause people to die. That would be an awful argument. Why don't we say, we don't think the government should be telling you what to do with your life, but please buckle up. Please buckle up. It's like anywhere there's civil liberties now, we're going to have to attack whatever it is. Why can't you just make the civil liberties argument and let it stand and let the science stand? Let's see. David says it's because these politicians confuse guidance with force, or they just don't want guidance. Well, there is force. I mean, there are states who are forcing it. Biden is going to force it with federal employees. It is going to happen. But they also confuse states' rights with federal rights. Right? States, because of the 10th Amendment, they can take away all kinds of things from you. In essence, they can take away anything that's not specifically mentioned in the Constitution. How do you think they get away with the seatbelt law? How do you think they get away with drinking and driving with restrictions? How do you think they get away with speed limits? How do you think you get away with smoking laws? How do you think they get away with health codes on businesses and everything else? All of those things are you're forced to do something, to participate. It's because states have a right to do those things. States are sovereign, except when the power is specifically mentioned in the Constitution. And it's insanity to me to watch. This is one of the core parts of conservatism for me, states' rights. And we're watching all of these conservatives get out and freak out over states' rights. The states don't have a right to do this. They don't realize how much they're hurting themselves in the long run. Let's see. Patty says, because they are flip-flopping their agreement with Trump. She also says, people have died already. David says, it's ironic since the ones hurt the most are their supporters. I know, right? The ones who are dying are the unvaccinated. Who are the majority of the unvaccinated? We know the answer to that. It's funny, every time I watch Governor Cox, this is Heather, he'll make suggestions but not mandate anything, yet so many comments are about he's taking away our freedoms. I think Governor Cox has the model that Republicans should follow. Doesn't want a mandate, but is encouraging people to make the healthy choice. That's a model that you would not hear me fighting against. I would argue with you that states have a right for mandates, but as a conservative, I can definitely get behind the civil rights argument. It's when you're attacking science when you have no business, Chris Stewart, no business saying they don't have evidence. The ones who have evidence, who don't have evidence, are you. You're the ones. You're the ones making this political. You're the ones doing everything that you're accusing the other side of doing. Let's see here. Patty says, civil liberty doesn't mean make uneducated decisions that hurt others. Well, sometimes it does. There are costs to freedom. And so I'm a big fan of freedom, as I said. I have lots of friends who are free. I would prefer to err on the side of the government not telling people what to do. I would prefer that. But there's a line for me. And that line goes up, you know, in normal everyday situations. I'm going to generally argue that the government needs to butt out. Federal government needs to stay out of state business, and states need to stay out of my business unless they absolutely have to. But that line in the case of a pandemic is how contagious and how many people are going to die. And I have to wonder what that line is for so many of these people. What is it? What is the point where they'll finally say, okay, all right, this is the point. I don't believe the Constitution should be a death sentence for our country. I don't believe that. There is a line when the government needs to step in. We can debate where that line is for sure. Let's see here. David says, if Trump followed that model, then we wouldn't be in this predicament. I know. The model for Trump to me was so obvious and so easy. He could have become a historic world leader who brought our nation through an incredible crisis. And we became closer because of it. And if you think back in history of when this nation has faced great crisis, we have seen great leaders rise up and unify the nation behind a cause. World War II, 9/11, you can see that throughout history. President Trump had an incredible opportunity to bring people together and say, we're going to fight COVID together. But I'm telling you, my interpretation of what happened in Trump's mind is that this virus is going to shut down his economy. And his economy is his only key to reelection. And so he calculated, it wasn't that he didn't want to create fear in the people. That's a load of nonsense. He calculated that if the virus were to take hold and all these mandates, that his economy would be shut down. And of course, it was true that the economy was going to be shut down. But he could have made the shutdown much shorter. And we may not even have a Delta variant. Who knows if governments would have taken a better approach. My thought would be, everybody, we've got to get together. Everybody, we've got to worry about the health of each other, of Americans. We've got to make the best choices right now. And so what I need you to do is to buckle down, to social distance, to wear a mask. And if we can get everybody to do this, then we can return to our economy much faster. And we can return to normal much faster. So let's rise up as a nation and let's do this thing. Instead, he downplayed, he lied, he said it was going to go away without the vaccine, still managed to put together and sign Operation Warp Speed, which he deserves absolute credit for, but he destroyed the credibility of Operation Warp Speed for all the months leading up to it, and he destroyed the credibility of it for all the months after it. You imagine if it was Spencer Cox of Utah in that scenario? I think we'd still have a Republican for president and one who's highly supported. We couldn't do it. He couldn't get past it. He couldn't do it. Patty says a line for most will be when it affects their family or their face. You know, I'm going to tell you in a minute, there's kind of a, when we get to the civil liberties debate, I'm going to throw something at you here in a minute. That may expose the truth about the civil liberty argument a little bit. So hang on for that. Jihab on Twitch says, inflation now combined with new strain and maybe going back to masks and lockdowns. The straw that breaks the camel's back, maybe. Yeah, we may be in a lot of trouble. I read a story yesterday about the housing market and how housing has been going crazy. And we're all experiencing this in the state of Utah. But what's been happening behind the scenes is millions and millions and millions of homeowners have been unable to make their rent or their mortgage payments. And they've been offered forbearance from their mortgage companies. They've been protected by the government, state or federal, saying they can't be evicted. And all of those are now coming due. And the 08 housing crisis had a similar situation involved. And what is going to happen when, I think the number is 9 million or something, 9 million homes are suddenly thrown into foreclosure. As Jihab points out, add that to inflation. Now, anyone who blames Obama for the current inflation is somebody looking for political, I mean, blames Biden, not Obama, is somebody looking for political gain because the inflation is a result of the pandemic. I've done huge amounts of research into why we have a chip shortage, why we have a lumber shortage, why do we have a car shortage. It all has to do with the choices that these businesses had to make to survive during the pandemic. So, for example, in the computer chip industry, they stopped making chips because they thought the demand was going to go down. And that affected the car industry because they couldn't get their chips. There was one manufacturer, I forget who it was, who pre-purchased a bunch of chips, and so they didn't get affected by it. The rental car industry. Rental car companies couldn't rent cars anymore, so you know what they did? They sold off their fleets. So now try getting a rental car. So this inflation, one of the other things that's causing inflation is shipping containers, of all things. Because we're able to get the shipping containers here, but we're not able to get them back. So they're all piling up on the docks. So you've got kind of this mountain of things that have been caused by the pandemic that are now coming to fruition. I hope that we don't have to go backwards. I would like to think that if we had good leadership before and we had all gotten together and instead of debating and making mass political, people made a choice for themselves. But this would have been the bigger thing. Imagine if you could have played to their patriotism and had them make the choice for their country. Because wearing a mask, social distancing, can and should be a choice you make for your country. This was the win for Republicans. The sooner we get rid of this virus from our society, the sooner America returns to greatness. And every step that we take, every selfish step that we take, keeps this country from returning. Can you imagine the messaging of that? Man, that would have been powerful. Man, that would have been amazing. But one of my favorite lines from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, had your chance, muffed it. Or trumped it, as we could say now. Sheldon says, I was dropping off DoorDash at an apartment complex. I walked down one hallway and passed four final notices for payments. They are getting reward to stop booting people as soon as they can. Or getting ready to start kicking people out as soon as they can, he says. He clarifies. We could be in for a complete reversal in this economy. And what's going to happen is Republicans are going to, of course, blame Biden. And remember, I've told you that I think the only chance that Trump has in 2024 is if this country goes into major recession, major. And then the American people will say, you know, with all Trump's nonsense, he gave us that economy. And they'll say, we'll put up with that nonsense to get this country out of a hole. We could be going there. We could be going there. All right. This is the thing that I really wanted to share with you, because this is from Mitt Romney. He made a very interesting statement. He also tweeted it out, and I want to get your feedback on this. And let me change the color again so you can read it. He says he likened getting the vaccine to being pro-life and said listening to health experts is better than looking on Facebook. What do you think about this? Is pro-life pro-vaccine? We've kind of talked about this. Many of you have mentioned this, that if you're pro-life, shouldn't you be worried about lives? Or are you only worried about unborn lives? Once they're born, who cares about them? If you've already been born, we don't care about your life. We only care about the unborn life. This is Mitt's tweet. He says, being pro-life doesn't just mean advocating and protecting the unborn. He says, I also care deeply for the living. What a statement. And don't want more people to die from COVID-19. Everyone that is able should get the vaccine. Here it is, the messaging that Republicans should have, every one of them. No, we do not feel it is the job of government to mandate. And so we're not going to do that. But we hope that you will listen to the prevailing medical advice and wear a mask indoors and get vaccinated. Why? Because you're pro-life. And you should care about the lives of everyone around you. You should care about your life. And I've added, because you're a patriot. and you want this country to return to greatness as quickly as possible. All incredible reasons to get vaccinated. All incredible. Jihab on Twitch says, imagine how different the Republican Party would be now had Romney beat Obama. Yeah, it would be very different. So I want to throw something at you here. Because this pro-life argument is very interesting to me. Let's dive in to a little bit here. Let's get a little bit deeper. And you heard me make this if you listened to the JMAC update that I released earlier today. I'm conflicted over abortion. Does that surprise you? A lot of people see perfect clarity in the pro-life issue. I'm conflicted. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm a conservative. And you're like, what? As a conservative, I don't want to tell anyone what to do with their body. A big fan of freedom, as I've said. Like freedom. Like civil liberties. Don't want to tell a woman what to do with her body. I'm a big fan of civil liberties. The conservative in me says, shouldn't be telling a woman what to do with their body. But the other side of that coin, civil liberties are to protect those people who can't protect themselves. Unborn babies, I believe, fit in that category and deserve protection. So here you go, the two issues slamming together. Jihab says, a baby is not part of a woman's body. It's a human. It is a human in a woman's body, and whatever you do with it involves a woman and her choice. And if you were going to mandate that she do something with her body, you are messing with her civil liberties. But again, as I said, Jihab, I think that unborn life deserves somebody fighting for them and the government fighting for them. So again, who wins? Who wins in that fight? It's an incredibly hard issue. So I'm somebody who tends to believe that at a certain point, then the abortion shouldn't be allowed. But before that point, the civil liberty of the woman is allowed to prevail. That's the only way I can kind of cross the streams and reconcile both sides in my mind. You may hate me for that. You may think that I'm evil or terrible because of that. But here's the reason I bring that up. Because with the pro-life issue, we're saying we don't give a damn about the woman's rights. The life of the child is more important. So the moment conception happens, a woman loses all of her rights when it comes to the life of that child. Pro-lifers have no problem with that. None whatsoever. Okay, so now let's take it over to COVID. All right? COVID, if you wear a mask, if you get vaccinated, will save a life. Right? Aren't we talking about saving lives? Aren't we? But with COVID, we're saying, no, you can't take away my right to protect the other life. That's my civil liberty. You can't take it from. You want me to wear a mask to save somebody else's life? No, it's my civil liberty. You can't do it. But it's still a lot. No, you can't do it. So what's the difference here? Is the difference that with abortion, we know that that's one individual life, and we don't necessarily know with COVID who is going to die. So the random nature of it, we know somebody's going to die, but we don't know who. So in that case, is that the difference? is the difference that we will take away somebody's rights if it's a child, an unborn child, but we won't take away somebody's rights if it's an adult? What is the line there? Because in the one, we have no problem the moment that conception happens taking away that right. It seems to me that you could use the same logic that says the moment that you have the virus, you lose all your rights. The moment that the virus hits society, you lose all your rights. And in that case, you're going to say civil liberties, man. And what's insane to me is in the case of pro-life, you're talking about a major medical procedure. You're talking about forcing a woman to carry to term and give birth. In the case of COVID, we're just talking about forcing someone to wear a mask. I just find it interesting that staunch pro-lifers are at the same time saying, you can't take away my right. You can't force me to wear a mask. But aren't staunch pro-lifers saying, we are going to take away a woman's rights for the rights of somebody else? Well, if I'm forcing you to wear a mask for the life of somebody else, what's the difference? You tell me. I'm just curious. Just this is one of the thoughts that's been bouncing around my head. What's the difference? Jihab says, yeah, but blowing up every McDonald's on the planet would save lives too. See, that's why I don't think that the role of the federal government is to save lives. I think it's to protect rights. Like I said, I'm a big fan of rights. But in a case like abortion, you've got two groups of rights and they slam into each other. In the case of a pandemic, you've got two groups of rights. You've got, and they slam into each other. So I just think that there should be some consistency there. My thought would be that we try in all cases, in abortion, in a pandemic, in wearing a mask, that we spend a huge amount of time trying to encourage and incentivize making the best choice for the person and for the lives of everybody else. Instead of just saying the civil liberty is so important and we're going to bash the science and by doing so actually cause people to make the worst medical choice possible. Seems to me how it should be. Jihab says, remember what happened to Typhoid Mary or whoever the lady was who they locked up. David says, if you wanted to argue about the random nature of it, then you could also argue that you have the right to go as fast as you want on the road because you may or may not die. That's great. It's a great point. Again, to save lives, there are mandates all around us put on by the state. Speeding, as David points out, states have a right to do that. I'm a big fan of states' rights. I'm a conservative. I would prefer that in most cases, we allow people to make the best choice for themselves. But there are cases when and times when the individual choices of one person can have such a dramatic impact on others that we need to put on restrictions. One of those times that nobody had a problem with. No Republicans that I recall were out screaming civil liberties when smokers lost their rights. Do you remember? I don't see it. And why did smokers lose their rights? Because of all the reports about secondhand smoke. Doesn't that sound a lot like a contagious virus? Smokers lost their rights because of the potential of their choices to adversely affect those around them. People get pulled over and charged and incarcerated for drunk driving, even though they haven't hurt anybody yet. Why? Because of the heightened potential that they will hurt somebody. So to me, these are all examples of when the potential is heightened to a certain level that the state government, not the federal government, that's the federal government just putting recommendations, that the state government comes in and says, for the time being, we're going to require something. Only at a heightened level, when it gets to a point where the chances that you will take away somebody else's life or rights goes up dramatically. That seems to me like good policy. And you can still fight for your civil rights in most of the cases. But it's a little bit disingenuous to me to see these cries for civil rights now when we didn't see them when other people's rights were being taken away. And why is it? Well, I talk about it all the time. The reason why the fight is happening now is because now you're affecting me. When you took away smokers' rights, I wasn't smoking, so I didn't care. When you punish a drunk driver, even though they haven't actually hurt anybody, I don't care. I don't drink. But I've asked you to put a mask on your face. And that's what's so crazy to me is that some of the most emotional and charged rhetoric that we've seen about civil rights since the founding of this nation is over a cloth covering on your face. Who would have thought? You know, when you think about all the things that could challenge our democracy and get people so fired up, it's about a piece of cloth on your face. Even though, by the way, you are required, as far as I know, in most cities to wear clothes. I'm not complaining about that. Anyway, just thought I'd share with you my thoughts on that. I have one other thing to share with you here. Again, I think that Republicans should just be making the civil liberties argument and saying that freedom is a bitch and sometimes we die because of freedoms. But we encourage everybody to make the best choice possible, right? But again, They're calling science politics and politics science. Let's just look at some numbers and see if that can inform us at all. So this is the 7-day average daily increase in new confirmed cases by state. Sheldon says, you must be mad, Jay, dropping all these B-bombs. You've heard me do a couple of things in the last few days that I haven't done. I called Chris Stewart's comment stupid, which I haven't said something like that about somebody's comments for 20 years. And yeah, I've dropped some B-bombs today. I'm getting pushed to the edge on all of this, if you haven't noticed. I'm getting pushed pretty far. Because it is so maddening to watch this Republican leadership and our own Chris Stewart literally making choices that will encourage people to risk their lives and the lives of other people. And he's doing it somehow to protect civil liberties when he could be protecting civil liberties and encouraging them to make the best choice. And he's calling new research, a decision made by new research. He's calling that a flip-flop. Okay, 7-day average daily increase in new confirmed cases by state. I don't know if you can read that. It's probably a little small on your screen. And if you're listening to the podcast, you can't see it at all. So let me describe for you what you are seeing here. The red lines, the red bars are states that went for Trump in the election. The blue bars are the states that went for Biden. The numbers on the left are daily increase per 100,000. And so this is basically just an illustration of which states have the most new cases in the last 7 days. Notice that the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the top seven are all red. Now, again, if you want to make the civil liberties case and just say this is the result of people making choices, and that's part of, you know, freedoms have costs, and we need people to make the best choice. But what's happening in these states and in the leadership of these states is they are not just saying we want you to choose for yourself. They are attacking the science. And so Louisiana is the highest. I shared with you yesterday that Florida, right now, Florida accounts for 20% of all new cases in the country right now. Governor DeSantis, he said, I think I have it here. He said, what did he say? How did he explain this away? Oh, here it is. Check out what he said. He said, he blamed it on a summer COVID season. Well, isn't it interesting that the summer COVID season is happening primarily in red states? That's interesting. This to me is an illustration of what the bashing of science is doing. I believe these numbers would be lower if the Republican message was, we're not going to make you, but please do it because it's the healthy and right choice to do. I think we'd be seeing fewer deaths and fewer cases. That's just me. That's just me. But this is data. Is this just a summer COVID season? Or is this evidence that mask wearing mandates and social distancing and those types of things work? You tell me. Correlation is not causation, but that's pretty interesting, isn't it? It's pretty interesting. Jackie says, the only voters left will be the Dems. If they'd start talking about that, problem solved. Yeah, you're right, Jackie. Maybe the Republican messaging should be, hey, there's not going to be any of us left. And then the Democrats are going to have total control. Maybe that's why they're finally changing their tune. Maybe that's what finally pushed them over the edge. They looked at the numbers and realized it's people on the right who are getting it and who are dying. I mean, think about how this is going to affect the political makeup of those seven states. I don't know. The whole thing is maddening. My fellow Republicans, please, why can't you just admit to the science? Stand on civil liberties. That's fine. I understand that argument. But encourage people to make the right choice, like Mitch McConnell has been doing, like Mitt Romney is doing, like Sean Hannity finally did. And contact people like Chris Stewart, who is calling new medical research a flip-flop. And tell him that you're disgusted by it. And that his political shenanigans are going to cost lives. The cricket's still here, Orion. I shared at the beginning of the broadcast, you might have missed it, that I've been having a battle of wits with the cricket. I doused the bush outside of my window where this cricket has taken up its home on Tuesday night. And that worked for 2 days. And now it's back tonight. So the cricket is winning the battle. The other thing that I want to share with you is you may have noticed that I didn't share any videos with you tonight. Unfortunately, I don't think that I'm going to be able to continue to share videos with you. Normally, I like to go and grab the sound bites. I believe that that falls under fair use copyright laws to grab those small clips, especially when it's of politicians. But it doesn't matter what I think if social media is going to mute it or they're just going to block it. And so I've had to make the decision that I'll show you the website. Maybe sometimes I can show you the video without the audio. But I've had to make the decision that I can't show you those videos anymore, as much as I love to do so. So I'll just have to stick like we did with tonight with quotes and those types of things. I hope you understand. I know you understand, but I just wanted you to know that that is the programming difference that you may be seeing. And if you didn't hear our announcement earlier this week, I'm now releasing an update every single day. I plan on it being around 20 minutes long. It was a little bit longer today. It will contain a lot of the things that we talk about here live, but that will be pre-recorded, no comments, and just a great way to listen to the podcast or hear about some of the latest news stories and my opinions about them. And then we'll keep doing the lives. I love the lives because that's when I get to hear your feedback and your questions. So that's kind of the programming changes and agenda. And a lot of that is because so many of you have become patrons. You've decided to contribute to this podcast financially. You recognize that it costs me money to do this. These services that I use charge me a monthly fee to be able to bring this to you. So a monthly donation, a one-time donation goes a long way. You can take a picture of that flow code you see on the screen, or you can go to jmcfarland.com and become a one-time patron or a monthly patron. And to those of you who are doing so already, many of you listening tonight, thank you. It means the world to me. And it allows me to keep doing this. And as you can tell, we're improving now. We're going to every day. So there's a lot more that I want to do. You guys are helping me do that. Any other comments tonight before we wrap up? We've been going for an hour and 10 minutes. Anything that I missed? Anything out there in the media that you want to talk about? If you also listen, if you also missed the first part of the show, I talked about how on Tuesday night, I made some comments on the air, and then I went and did some research after the fact and realized that I was wrong, came back on the air live and corrected myself, but then went back and did more research. And Chris Larson, a listener of this program, contacted me, and he pointed out that I was actually right. And so I've retracted my apology for being wrong. So if you didn't catch that, go back and listen to the beginning of this broadcast. Yes, I flip-flopped. I thought I was wrong. I came on and I apologized because it's very important to me that when I talk about factual things that I get it right. You know, when it comes to opinions, you can take them or leave them. And I hope that you will not believe everything that I say. Anytime somebody says, I agree with everything you say, I'm like, really? Because I got to get it wrong sometimes, but it is a huge compliment. So, you know, if you disagree with my opinions, that's one thing. But if I represent something as factual and it's not, I want you to tell me, and I hope that you learn from me on Tuesday night, that I will make the correction because one of the things that I firmly believe, and this is one of our guiding principles at liftpolitics.org, is that if the truth is not on your side, then your cause is not worthy. And this is a problem that we have on both sides of the aisle right now. We will spin the truth or ignore the truth when it doesn't fit our agenda. When the reality is, what we should be doing is adjusting our agenda to match the truth. And so we've got it all backwards because of politics. And we're watching that happen with COVID. We're watching that happen with Chris Stewart. The truth is right there in front of his face, but it doesn't match his political agenda. So he's calling it flip-flopping. He's being critical of new research that he probably hasn't read or looked into. And so the truth isn't good enough. And if the truth is not good enough for Chris Stewart, then we need to let him know. That's all I got. I don't see any other questions or comments coming in. So I think that's all I've got for you tonight. I'm gonna vow by the next live to be over this cricket because he's driving me crazy. So mark my word, Carl the Cricket. It's game on. And I will win. I will win. My friends, have a wonderful night. Thank you so much for joining us.